All you guys can do better than that. Say, good evening, church. All right, much better. So tonight we're talking about the power of small, And we're not going to talk about any person at all, okay? You guys think of a person that you think of that's very small in stature, okay? But that's okay. You just put it in your mind. We're going to be talking about the power of small tonight, all right? So if you consider this effect of just one thing, think about the effect of one match. What can one match do? It can start a forest fire. It can start a campfire. It can burn a house down if you really try and figure that out. It's possible. It has happened in the past. What about one grain of sand that's on your sandal or in your shoe? Right? Sand? It's pretty annoying sometimes, right? One thing can be the effect of just one little thing. What about one mosquito bite? One mosquito, it's kind of annoying. Itchy, right? Not so good. Or even worse, poison ivy. little bit of leaves, poison ivy, really bad. How about the effect, kind of changing our focus a little bit, one vote. But one vote. That can change the course of entire election. One vote can and has. If you guys look up the story of the how Texas became a state, go look that up and research that. It's pretty interesting. We also have, what about 1 minute? When there's 1 minute left in the clock in a football game, does a lot happen in the last minute of a football game? Or the last 1 minute of a basketball game? Yeah, lots can happen in the last minute, right? Just like, unfortunately, some teams lost in the last minute today. Some teams I know you guys dearly love, right? How about one seed? What is one seed? What can one seed do? If you really think about it, one seed can create an entire forest, because from that one seed, more seeds come and more seeds come. So one seed can have the potential to spread. And we as Christians, we're going to see the power of small is very important. The power of small, we as a united front, and with our relationships, we can infect and influence the entire globe. So I'm going to show you this next picture on the screen. This is the starting location of these businesses. Look at the starting location of these businesses, right? These are all pictures of what? A shed or a garage, right? Apple started in a garage. Google, garage. These are all garage or shed. Harley, Disney, and Mattel were all in just sheds. Pretty interesting. There's a very small thing. Now what are they? All these are huge multi-million, multi-billion dollar businesses, right? They started very small, though. Each and every one of these had an opportunity to grow. We have an opportunity to grow if we are willing to take a step out and grow. I want to tell you a story about Kurt Warner. Anybody know Kurt Warner? Now, throughout his career, Kurt Warner had a hard time getting a real shot to prove himself. At Northern Iowa, Warner didn't hit the field for the first time until his senior season, where he proved all he had, he proved all his talent, that he had real talent. Still, it wasn't enough. He went undrafted in the 1994 NFL draft, with no teams finding real interest in an unproven quarterback. He took his talents to the Arena Football League, where he played from 1995 to 1997, those seasons. So after a few successful years in the AFL, Warner finally was given a shot by the St. Louis Rams. They sent him off to NFL Europe to play for Amsterdam Admirals. He would continue to impress overseas, and the following season he was brought back to take over the role of the team. Warner was the team backup, but he was quickly inserted when the starting role after Trent Green was knocked down for the year during the 1999 season. When Warner walked under center, he took the team, he was off with the team, and it was called what? The Greatest Show on Turf. It was pretty neat. Now, it was during his first year, Warner threw for 4,353 yards and 41 touchdowns. The team won the Super Bowl that year, beating the Tennessee Titans 23-16. Really cool. One man changed the entire atmosphere of that organization. Really cool. If you guys got your Bibles, turn with me now to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30, we're going to look at some more small things. And as we talk, kind of unpackage this lesson tonight, we're going to talk about the power of small. There's a couple verses here in Proverbs chapter 30 that gives us four things. It says in verse 24, Proverbs 30, verse 24, says, four things are small on the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. The ants are not strong people, but they prepare their food in the summer. The Ashananim are not mighty people, but yet they make houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet all of them go out in ranks. The lizard you may grasp with the hands, yet it's in king's palaces. Now, if you look at this picture up there, a lot of interesting things. You could talk a long time about all these different creatures that God created. But this first one, ants. Did you guys know that ants can carry up to 20 times their weight? But think about that. 20 times our weight. If I was an ant, I could carry 20 of me on my shoulders. That's pretty incredible. Pretty strong, right? What about those furry creatures, also known as the rock badgers here mentioned? They built their homes in rocky cliffs, far up from any other predators. They couldn't be reached because of their unique abilities that God created them for their safety. Locusts, we know something about locusts. They were one of the plagues, right, in the plagues of Egypt. They're extremely deadly and unstoppable in high numbers when they invade a field and can cause chaos. What about the lizards? Well, you may grasp with the hand. What happens sometimes when you grasp that lizard by the tail? What happens? It loses tail, but then what happens? It can grow it back. Lizards are amazing small creatures that God created. So when God, when he uses small things, they can do powerful things. Biblical history is punctuated with examples of how the Lord's people, with divine help, have achieved the greatest goals by tiny means at their disposal. Think about Jochebed. That was the mother of Moses. She saved the life of her baby Moses and thus delivered the nation of slaves by means of a small basket of woven reeds. Later, her son used the simple rod, would part the waters of the Red Sea, allowing the Israelites to cross over into Sinai en route to Canaan. Now remember, it's not about all the people, what they did, but God was used. God uses these people for his power, right? Number two there, when Israel was about to enter the promised land, spies were sent to survey the hostile territory. Rahab, a woman of faith, received the spies and hid them. By the use of a small cord, they assisted in their escape. And they had this preparation for the unfolding plan for the Israelites. And the plan of redemption we would see as the scarlet cord of history, you see that unfolding throughout the life. And did you guys know that Rahab is in the genealogy of Jesus? Really neat. A woman, a prostitute, was used by God, a small woman, by human standards, but God used her for powerful things. In the days of Judges, Samson, by wielding a mere jawbone of a dead donkey, saved his people from the hostile Philistines. One man killed many. Also, Gideon stood with 300 men of Israel and routed the 100,000 Midianites. Remember, it wasn't 300 men that accomplished this task, but he did this. How did this get accomplished? By the power of God. God uses small things to accomplish much. David used a small sling and stone to bring down the giant named Goliath. Elijah faced off with 450 prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, called down fire from heaven. And what happened that day? Those 450 prophets died that day. Esther, a young Hebrew girl, saves a nation because of her courage. One woman, one girl, stood up, and her nation was saved. God uses the small to accomplish much. When Paul's life was threatened by the rebel Jews in Damascus, this apostle was delivered, not by military force or intervention, but by a small basket lowered over the opening of a city wall. And we know the story, very familiar, Jesus uses what? 5 barley loaves and 2 fish to feed 5,000 people in the countryside. Jesus also used a small group of men, known as his disciples, to change the world. Are you ready to be part of the small to accomplish much for God's kingdom? Is a question we're going to talk about tonight. So I've entitled tonight's message, The Power of Small. I say small because it's my belief that God is to be small, not to another program of life, not just to do something different, but we need to be, as part of our DNA, to have a small community in the Harlan community, Fort Wayne community, wherever you community, to accomplish much in your area. God is calling us small to smallness because community, as described in the New Testament, was small, but it was authentic, and it spread. It spread very quickly, it spread authentically, and it grew through relationships. This doesn't happen only on Sunday mornings. This does not happen only at Sunday school time. This happens every day at the workplace, at the schools. This happens every single day of your lives when you encounter other people. You have to influence other people, and that's the basis for ministry. So that's my first point this morning, is relationships are the basis for ministry. Listen to these following verses. They're in the handout there. You guys can if you missed some of these, go watch the Facebook later, because I'm going to go fast through these. John 13:34 says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Romans 15:14, and concerning you, my brethren, I myself am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to admonish one another. Ephesians 4:25, therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each of you, to his neighbor, who are members of one another. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. John 15:12, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Romans 15:7, therefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. Romans 16:16, greet each other with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. Do you hear that one, Hal? 2 Corinthians 13:11, my brethren, rejoice, be made complete, be comforted, be like-minded, live in peace, and the love or the God of love and peace be with you all. Galatians 5:13, for you are called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:15 says, see that no one repays another for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Hebrews 3:13, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And finally, 1 Peter 4:9-10 says, be hospitable to one another without complaint, as each of you has received a special gift, employ it with serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We cannot fulfill these commandments unless we meet together. Is that true? You have to meet together. You have to come together. And that just doesn't happen on Sunday mornings. Doesn't happen just on Sunday nights. We have to be doing this daily, right? The New Testament, they did this daily in the homes, going to when they went to work, when they were together, they did this daily. Why is it important for us to meet together? Do we need this? We need this daily reminder? Yes, that's what these texts are telling us. They describe these one another texts that we live life together. And I propose to you that we need that supernatural power in our life. Because if we need, can we accomplish much without Jesus? No, we cannot. Can we accomplish much by just ourselves? Can I, as one person, do much? Not really. But we together, on a united front, accomplishing many things, we can be a small force in this community for good. So number two, relationships keep me spiritually thriving. Relationships keep me spiritually thriving. Are you thriving spiritually or just surviving? Let me ask that again. Are you thriving spiritually or are you just surviving? There's a difference. Surviving is just going through the motions, the activities, the routines of the Christian life, but is it really thriving as a Christian? Thriving is going through those same motions, those activities, and those routines, but with passion, with enthusiasm, because you have a love for God, not just out of obligation. And we need to be reminded of this, because I have fallen in the habit. Anybody been guilty of this before? We just go through the motions of life. Yeah, we're supposed to be there on Sundays. We're supposed to do this. We're supposed to do that. That's out of obligation. When you have a heartfelt passion that God has infused us with mercy, that he died on the cross for our sins, we need to do something about it. Tell people about this. That can, you know, it affects your behavior. It affects your attitude, and it's infectious around the people you come into contact with. We need to go through life thriving, being a part of God's kingdom, and be excited about it. Are you a Christian?
I think so.
Is that your response, or are you a Christian? Yes, I'm so glad to be a Christian. Let me tell you about it, right? And that guy, you ask that guy, man, that guy's weird, isn't he? Yeah, I am weird. That's okay, though. Yeah, I knew I'd get one. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. I'm going to sit here for just a moment. Hebrews 3, verses 12 through 14. It says, take care, brethren, that there not be any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. There's lots of things here, but listen to this carefully. Take your mind out of autopilot for a moment, and I'm going to say something very deliberate because I want you to understand this. It is imperative for your spiritual well-being. It does happen to people, and it has happened to people here at the Church of Christ in Harlan, because they've been deceived by the attractiveness of sin, and they've hardened their hearts to the things of the Spirit, and they have fallen away. Sobering fact, but it's still a fact. There will be people that profess Christ that will not hold firm till the end. Jesus said this. Paul says this as the Hebrew writer. I'm convinced it's Hebrew. It's Paul who wrote this. He says, there will be those that don't hold fast. There are people that profess Christ that will hold firm, and I hope and pray that each and every one person that's here tonight is going to hold firm till the end, but the reality is that some will not. And we need to be aware of that fact, because that could be me. That could be you. So for if we share in Christ, if we hold the original confidence firm until the end, genuine Christians live out their daily life as Christians, every single day of their lives, not just on Sundays, not just on Wednesdays, every single day. And this is a word of encouragement. Take care, brethren. He's saying, take care, brethren, that there not be any one of you that's evil, unbelieving heart, that you fall away from God. That's a sobering fact, but we need to be reminded of that, that we have that potential inside us. So we need to be encouraging each other. The deceptive nature of sin is real. And I'm not talking about living a perfect, sinless life here. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about perseverance here, right? The warnings of Scripture are real. The possibility of falling away is real. God uses warnings to encourage us to that we persevere, that we remain faithful until death. And that's a hard work to do. That is hard work to accomplish. You know, the water grave of baptism, that's the beginning of the journey, right? It's not the end. That's the beginning of the journey. You believe in Jesus, you repent of your sins, you get immersed into Jesus, you confess Christ, but then you live faithfully the rest of your days. A great example of apathy of sin is apathy or lukewarmness, because it's so accepted as normal Christianity. Apathetic attitude or just lukewarmness. That's normal. I don't want to be normal if that's normal. So many people live their lives as cultural Christians. And we need to be reminded that when we made a decision to follow Jesus, we need to bear fruit. We need to be bearers of fruit. What does bearers of fruit mean? We have the fruit of the Spirit bearing it out in our lives, but bearing fruit literally means make disciples. If you look at that, that's what it really means. To bear fruit is you're making disciples. You're replicating yourself, making more disciples, followers of Jesus after you. So if we are reminded of these facts that we're talking about here in Hebrews, God is going to make a change in the atmosphere at the Church of Christ at Harlan here. We'll continue to be a great church here if we stay faithful, if we stay resolute to the decisions that we've made in the past. We will remain faithful. We will be continue growing as a family, as a brotherhood, a ecclesia, a body of Christ, if we remain faithful. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. I want to read that one again. It says, but encourage one another day after day, right? Day after day, as long as it's called today. But none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So how do you fight this unbelieving heart? How do you keep from falling away from the living God? Exhort, encourage one another. How often we are to do this? Hebrews 3 tells us what? Every day. Let's do this every day. This doesn't just happen on Sunday. This doesn't just happen at our prayer meetings, not only in our Sunday school times. This happens every single day of our lives. We're doing this daily. Notice I didn't say it was just the preacher's job. Notice I didn't say it was just the elder's job. Notice I didn't say it was just the deacon's job. It's all of us as Christians, as brothers and sisters in Christ, to encourage each other. Brothers and sisters, encourage each other daily. The person you're currently talking to, encourage that person. The person you walk out and you bump elbows with on the way out, encourage that person. Let's build an atmosphere of encouragement, exhorting each other, building each other up, because we're all united in this effort together. I'm going to turn to another scripture. I'm going to skip that next one. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23. Read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, it says there, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who is promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our assemblies together as a habit of some, but encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day drawing near. For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fire, fury of a fire which consume the adversaries. Now, there's a similar phrase here, hold fast to the hope. Hold fast to the confession of the hope without wavering. Now, the Hebrew writer here, it says to stir one another up. That word stimulate means to stir one another up. Radical acts of love, right? To do and to accomplish things together. God brings about radical acts of love as we encourage each other. You know, what do we need to do? We need to live lives of passionate, enthusiastic lives for Jesus, just like we are cheering for our football team, cheering for our sports teams. We need to have that same, if not more, excitement because we're part of the greatest kingdom this world has ever known. Amen? You guys should be dancing and saying, yeah, let's go! Woo! You can cheer at church. It's okay. It is okay. Hold fast to the hope. Does this happen only on Sundays? Does this only happen at Sunday school time? No. This happens every single day after day. Sundays are valuable for truth, for inspiration, for encouraging, and for imparting truth through our lives. But we don't just happen, it doesn't happen just to encourage each other only on Sundays. If I would only talk to my wife once a week, what would happen? Well, for one, she'd probably get mad at me, right? Maybe. Now I'm going to dig myself a deep hole right here. We'll just keep going on from there. But if I only communicated to my wife one time throughout the entire week, we wouldn't have much of a relationship. But we think sometimes only coming to God once a week is enough. It's not. You have to do this multiple times a day, daily, talking to God. Pray, like Thessalonians talks about, pray continually. Talk to God and encourage each other daily. God is calling us to smallness because all of us need to be encouraged to persevere in the faith. With this faith, there is value and treasure because Christ is at the center. Amen? Christ is at the should be the center of our lives. And we have a faith that values and treasures that relationship. We're going to want to share it. We're going to want to help other people have the thing we have. Right? We have this special gift, this special treasure, the greatest treasure the world has ever known, salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. Wouldn't you want to share that with somebody? Give that to somebody? You have a free gift. You have better than $1 million gift. You have something that could, a forever, eternal relationship with the King of Kings, a heaven to dwell in. Let's give it to people. It's free. Let's do it. We need to be reminded of this because we sometimes just think, yeah, I'm safe. I'm saved, I'm okay. But that's not enough. We need to be sharing this message, giving it to other people, showing them, hey, this is how I became a Christian. This is how you can become a Christian too. God is calling us to smallness because we all need to be encouraged. We all need to be reminded that these radical acts of love can change the world. When that truth takes hold of our heart, we're not in this journey alone. We're in this journey together with God's people. That's why God is calling us to small togetherness. You cannot and will not overcome the deceitfulness of sin, the attractiveness of sin in your life alone. Because when you get it alone, it's like the flame that's burning bright, and you take that one coal on the bottom of that and you throw it to the side. What happens to that coal? It burns out. By itself, by ourselves, we burn out. Together we burn bright. We are the city on a hill, right? We're the burning bright light that people can see and say, hey, I want to be a part of that. But alone, we get into trouble, don't we? We get isolated. It's so easy to do, though, isn't it? We need to be together, united with the same effort of togetherness. You cannot and will not survive this life or even thrive alone. Imagine what kind of love, what good deeds God could stir us up if we took this message seriously. Imagine what kind of hidden sins we would reveal, maybe struggles somebody is going through daily, maybe a habit somebody is going through or an addiction or a hardship somebody is struggling with. we have a conversation with that person, we can encourage them. We can help them walk this journey together because they're not going through this journey alone. There's somebody that's struggling with the same stuff I'm struggling with. I know it, in this crowd. There's somebody that's struggling with the same stuff somebody else is struggling with in this crowd. We're together in this. We need to be united in it, reminding ourselves, hey, we're not alone. We have a family. It's called the church, the ecclesia. Imagine what God could do if we would have a group of fellow Christians love us, care for us, carry our burdens together, and committed to care for us daily. That'd be a vibrant atmosphere. So I pray that the church here, Church of Christ of Harlan, continues to be that. And we would look for opportunities we can get closer, get more tightly knit together. How can we pray for one another if we don't talk to each other? You just say, how you doing? Oh, you watched the football game today? You know, I was guilty of this just this evening, talking about just football, right? We sometimes get in these things that really don't matter, right? Does it matter if Indianapolis Colts lost today? Not really. It kind of stings. I'm an Indianapolis Colts fan. I'm a little upset, but it's not that big of a deal, right? Didn't really matter. They were losing 20-0 at halftime. But that doesn't matter. It really doesn't. I got to tell myself because I kind of care about it more than I should sometimes, right? All of us need to bring, what is important? What is important? Living and sharing our lives together need to be part of our atmosphere here, part of our culture and DNA of who we are. If the Church of Christ is your home, the leadership expects you to grow together. They do. I know that because I know all of them. I know the leadership here expects you to grow. They want you to grow, and they want to help you grow. What a great way, or what a great conversation you could have with an elder, even tonight. Talk to one of them, and I'm sure they'd love to share with you. Hey, what could I do in my next step? I feel like I'm just being stagnant. What can I do to take my next step in my faith? I'm sure the elders would love to have a conversation with you about that. They'd be thrilled. What can I do to take my next step in my journey of faith? I can imagine all kinds of conversations that would happen if we'd had this atmosphere. Kids at school would pray at lunch and say, how can I be a witness in my school but also in our community? How could we strategize to win our classmates to the Lord? The kids that they attend our school but they don't attend a church. We could get them and they could come to church and they could be a part of the true New Testament church. They could pray about that. That would be an atmosphere of growth, an atmosphere of positivity. Maybe guys meet here on Saturdays to encourage each other or meet on the golf course and encourage each other with their faith. Retired folks dreaming about life and missions together. Sometimes we're so indifferent about connections and relationships. We don't see ourselves as soldiers in a war for our souls. We need to be reminded of this. We're not just vacationers on a sightseeing tour, right? There's a song that says we're just, you know, pilgrims passing through, and that is true, but we're still here in a war, a spiritual battle for the minds and hearts of people. Don't ever forget that. We need to be reminded of this fact daily that we need to fight the battle. They're not alone. We need to have the spiritual appetite and spiritual passion to go beyond the normal Christianity because we can't just settle for what's normal. We need to be wanting more. How can we grow in a deeper way? And that brings us to my final point this evening, is we need to have essential relationships in the Christian life. Essential relationships in the Christian life. Personal relationships is the first one. It's in Ephesians chapter 4. By personal, I don't mean just functional, right? Functional relationships are like your doctor, your mechanic, your dentist. Those are functional relationships, right? But those aren't really personal. They can be personal, but personal is when you relate to each other on personal things, like your joys, your dreams, your struggles, and your victories. One of the realities in a growing church is you're going to have people that are different than you and people that are like you, right? And not many people are like George Schaefer. Would you guys agree with that? That's okay. He's a unique person, but I'm sure there's people out there that are like him, even in this crowd. The atmosphere in a personal relationship has to be real, though. You got to be authentic. That those kinds of relationships are nurtured, and you grow together. And that everyone, not one person, stands alone. We find somebody that you can connect with and go through this journey together with that person. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1-4 says, Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling, which you have been called. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to persevere or to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in the one hope of your calling. Having a personal relationship with them, connecting with them, connecting to the most important person they can ever come into contact with, Jesus Christ. And then that personal relationship goes to a deeper level. It's a deepening relationship. That second word is deepening. It means we don't just stay at that superficial level, but we learn something about them. We encourage them. We bear their burdens. We don't just say on passing, hey, how you doing today? And, oh, okay, good. I'm doing good. You're doing good. All right, we're good. But we say something deeper that goes beyond that conversation, a little deeper than that superficial conversation. There's the deepening process, an authentic, deep relationship that when they're struggling with their kids, you can talk to them about it. When they're having a really tough time at their job, they can talk to somebody about that. That authentic relationship, that deeper relationship we need to have with other people at our congregation. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 9 says, "The end of all things is near, therefore, be of sound judgment and be sober of spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint." We also need to have supportive relationships. We need to have personal relationships, we need to have deepening relationships, but also supportive relationships. This is where love comes in. It means to have a heart to lighten the person's load, to get to know them on a deeper level, and then to carry them burden and maybe walk alongside them in this journey. Hold their hand, if you will, in this journey. Galatians chapter 6 gives a beautiful picture of this. Galatians 6, verses 1 through 3 says, "Brethren, if any of you is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore him, such as one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourselves, so that you will also not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, therefore fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." And then finally, with that essential relationships, we need to have encouraging relationships. Encouraging relationships, you're building each other's faith. You're strengthening that bond of peace that you share with your connected Savior. Our goal as Christians is to be satisfied with all that God has to offer us. And remember, we have that same treasure we get to share with other people, so let's do this together. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you are also doing." It's a great verse to be reminded of. Encourage one another. Build each other up as you are doing. A couple quotes I'm going to close with here. This is one of my favorite authors because he wrote The Lord of the Rings, J.R.R. Tolkien. He said, "Some people believe," and this is actually a quote from one of the, I think it's The Hobbit, "some believe that that there is only great power that can hold the evil in check. But that is not what I have found. I found it in the small things, everyday deeds of ordinary folk that keeps the darkness at bay." And I like that. Even the smallest of people, like the hobbits, could keep the darkness at bay, right? And that's, I know it's a fictitious story, but there's a lot of great foundational truths in that story. Albert Einstein writes, "The world will not be destroyed by those who do evil, but those who watch and do nothing." It's easy to watch a house burning down, isn't it? But it's not so easy to go in and save the person who needs to be saved in that fire. It's easy to watch and see if somebody's life is crumbling down around them, but it's not so easy to go and help them out of that mess that they're in. We need to look around, look at our lives and say, hey, how can I reach out to somebody, help somebody else out, and then show them the treasure that I have in Jesus? God is calling us to a life of smallness, yet powerful, real, and authentic relationships with him as our Jesus and also with our fellow Christians. Now, in your booklets there, there's questions that you can ask yourself personally. In your personal Bible study time, I pray that you pray over those questions and answer those in your own time. But there's also, as we conclude tonight, there's a plan of salvation. If one has not made the decision to follow Jesus and took and hold of that treasure that they can have, a personal covenant relationship with Jesus, being forever with Jesus, having your sins washed away, and having a personal covenant relationship with him, first of all, you have to believe. You have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. It says in John 3:16. You have to repent of your sins, Jesus tells us. Repent of your sins and change, right? Having a change of heart and a change of mind. He also has to confess Christ, because Jesus said, if you don't confess me before my Father in heaven, I will not confess you before my Father in heaven. You also have to be immersed, like we talked about earlier. Be immersed into Jesus, having your sins washed away, and you get that life eternal. You take hold of that treasure, and hopefully, like was warned tonight, is you be faithful unto death so you don't fall away. So that's an encouragement to you guys this evening. Hopefully, if somebody has a need, please come talk to one of the elders. Come talk to me. I love to have a personal connection with you to talk to you about that. I'm taking this next step in your journey of faith. Also, if one is out there and that's just struggling, they need prayer, you need somebody to pray with you, we'd love to have one of the elders pray with you tonight. We're going to have a song. If you guys please stand.
Let's sing, You Alone Can Rescue.